He was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter doubted. Peter got to looking around at the waves. Peter's the only man other than our Lord and Savior that ever walked on the water. And yet Peter doubted. The Lord said he doubted. But the most beautiful part of that was that the Lord heard Peter's cry. And the Lord, when Peter began to look around, he took his eyes off the Lord. But when Peter started to sing, he said, "Lord, save me." And notice he didn't say Jesus waited another 2 or 3 minutes and let Peter take on water. He didn't say that. He didn't throw Peter a life preserver. He didn't throw him a bucket. It says Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and took a hold of Peter. I'll tell you how you're going to get out from underneath doubts and fears, my friends. And it's a situation where you've taken your eyes off the Lord. You're going to have to put your eyes back on him. You're going to have to call back out before him. Remember whenever the disciples went out into the sea, and the Lord was with them, and there was a storm that came up. And that storm came up on the sea. And they were looking at it, and they were all dismayed and distraught. Afraid of sinking that ship. And they just seen the Lord feed a great multitude out of absolutely a few loaves and fishes. And they went down to the bottom of that ship, and there was Jesus Christ asleep. And they woke him and said, "Master, care us not that we perish." What did they think? They thought they were going to die in that ship with the Lord Jesus Christ on it. But in it. You know how that the Lord awoke and he rebuked the winds, the seas, and they were still. The Lord can send a storm in your life, in my life. It's no great thing. There's nothing that pleases the Lord any more than you to call upon him. And my friends, if we don't call upon him voluntarily, there can be things that he would send in our lives that will make us call unto him. He loves to be noticed. He loves to be asked. He loves to have communion. Is anybody here a parent that doesn't like communion with your children? Brother Reuben, you've got grandchildren there. You've got Hunter sitting there beside you. Brother Phil, you've got grandkids here. Parents, is there any of you here that don't like to have fellowship with your children? You think that our Lord, I mean, we're just mortal men and women. You think that our Lord loves to have communion and fellowship with us? And yes, he can cause the seas to get rough. He can cause the storms to come, but guess what? He's waiting to hear your call. He knows how to get our attention, whereby we call upon him. And just like he rebuked the winds and the seas, he can make the seas be at rest. If he can make an ocean stop roaring and the winds to stop howling, how easy would it be for him to stop anything that comes up in my life? How easy would it be for him to stop it? But yet he made sure it wasn't bothering him. Yet he asked his disciples to call upon him. The Lord was there on their behalf. "Wherefore, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" There was a man by the name of Thomas. whenever the Lord arose from the dead, the Lord appeared to his disciples. And he appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they that saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So the Lord appears here to them, and it says, it keeps on here in the 20th chapter, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them." Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them. Why do you think that was? Thomas was not with them, I believe. The Bible doesn't say specifically, but you go read about Thomas. You'll read about him again over in the, I believe the 11th chapter of John. Whenever the Lord had heard that Lazarus was sick. Said, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Thomas was all the time thinking the worst. We call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas was thinking the absolute worst. "Let us go also, that we may die with him." In other words, the Lord's going to go down here. Lazarus is dead. The Lord's going to go down here. Let us die with him. Thomas is not with the disciples after the Lord's crucifixion. I believe the reason for that is because during this time, the disciples were afraid. You go read about whenever they met after the Lord's crucifixion. They were in a place that had the door shut for fear that they too might be crucified or killed or slain. Thomas is not with him. He's not putting casting his lots with them at this time. The first time here, the Lord appears to him and he says, "Peace be unto you." And that's when he begins to talk with them, and he tells over in Luke, he says, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." The Lord then ate with them. Why do you think the Lord did all that? Whenever they first saw him, they supposed that they saw a spirit. There were still doubts in their mind. The Lord upbraided them for their fear and unbelief. He then sits down and has them to handle him. And he also eats fish and honeycomb. But Thomas is not there. Thomas makes this statement. He says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's what Thomas said. "Unless I touch the nail prints and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He's a doubter. One of God's disciples. One of the 12 original. And yet, "I will not believe unless I see it. Unless I touch it." That's the way some of us are. The Lord came again after 8 days, and the disciples were within. And Thomas was with them this time. It says that Jesus, it said that Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace unto you. Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas. Why do you think the Lord showed up again this second time? It was for Thomas's benefit. For one man. You can't show by the scriptures where he taught any other lesson this time that he showed up than to teach Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe him. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Thomas didn't have to thrust his hands. See, the Lord had already, he rehearsed back to Thomas. Thomas said, unless I touch his hands, unless I touch the nail prints, unless I thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. The Lord shows up to Thomas and says, touch my hands and reach thy hand into my side. Exactly as Thomas has said. And Thomas didn't have to do that. He said, my Lord and my God. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you realize you're a blessed individual by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. I believe that. I believe that with every fiber within me. See, Thomas was scared, petrified. He's looking around at all the commotion going on around about. He didn't want to gain any strength. Notice the first time he's out away from the other disciples. He's all alone. And guess what he missed? He missed the appearance the first time of the Lord. Some people say, oh, I can get as much out of church, away from church. You know, I can get as much in my home on Sunday reading the Bible or talking or doing whatever. No, you can't. Thomas didn't get it. The Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord has set up his kingdom here, his church, for a reason. Yes, to give praise and worship unto his name, but he knew exactly what his children need. You need one another. You need to hear the good news of what he has done for you. You say, well, how do you know? Do you believe there are times when you know that you're a child of God? Yes, there are. And I've got scriptural proof for that. When is it that I believe and have the most assurance that I'm one of his? Over in 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul says this here. Well, listen, go to the third verse. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, how do they know it? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Apostle Paul says the best way to know your election of God is that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it came in power and in much assurance of the Holy Ghost. When do I know it the most? Whenever I'm blessed to hear good preaching. And it says, and it means something to me, and there's a place in my heart where the Spirit of God there dwells and operates, and it witnesses to me that I am His, and the message that's being spoken, it pertains to me, and I'm a partaker of it. That's when I know my election of God. Knowing your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in much assurance of the Holy Ghost. Here we talked about Peter. This morning, we talked about his 12 disciples. We talked about Thomas again. How about John the Baptist? John the Baptist, whenever he was in prison, I won't be able to find it, but I know exactly what he said. And I don't mind quoting it or paraphrasing it. Whenever John the Baptist was in prison, remember, John was the man who baptized our Lord. Whenever the Lord was baptized, the Spirit in the form of the dove landed upon John the Baptist. Upon the Lord. Not only that, John the Baptist was there and had made the statement out of his mouth, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was there the day he baptized Jesus. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You say, well, there's no way that he could ever have any doubts whatsoever. John was cast into prison because he was preaching out against adultery. Because he, the things he was preaching at that time to Herod. And that wicked, I guess it was the wife of Herod, didn't like the things that John said. And she put it in her daughter's heart to ask for the head of John the Baptist. But John's in prison now. He's in prison. Herod has put him in prison. And Herod goes out, well, the word goes out. John's here, and you can imagine how depressed he is. He sends his disciples to Jesus Christ and says, "Art thou the Christ, or should we look for another?" Doesn't sound like a firm old Baptist to me, does it? It doesn't sound like a firm Church of Christ. It doesn't sound like a firm Catholic. It doesn't sound like a firm anything. Here, though, the point I want to get to is this man held the Lord in his hands and saw all these things from heaven upon him. Made the statement out of his mouth, "This, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." But yet you find John the Baptist in prison, and he sends to the Lord this message: "Art thou the Christ, or do we look for another?" Say it's impossible for God's children to have doubts? I don't think so. I'm going to close with this here. I promise. Over in the Psalms, here we say it's not possible for us to get cast down. David asked this in the 77th Psalm. He said, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. That was written by a man that was said to be a man for God's own promise. He writes in one more place. It says this. And here's the cure for it. I say, whenever we're cast down, remember, usually what's happened is our eyes fall off the Lord. In the 42nd verse, it says this: "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Guess what his answer is? He's going to answer that question. The answer is this: "Hope thou in God." Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Not in order to be saved at all. See, there we've just gone a full circle. Whenever we're cast down, whenever we have doubts and fears, the place to go is hope thou in God. See, hope to an old Baptist, it's not a small thing. It's not something that's whimsical. It's not flippant. It's not something cheap. It's the anchor of our souls. And it's perfectly normal to go through times when you have doubts and fears. But remember, the Lord went down there just for Thomas. I'm convinced he went just for Thomas. The Lord put his hand out and called Peter. The Lord, many a time, whenever blind Bartimaeus cried out on the roadside, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," it says that Jesus stood still. He stood still for us. He's still standing still for us. And when you're cast down and you have doubts and fears, just remember, my friends, It's not like you're not alone. There's been a multitude that have had them right along with me. But every time I can ever find the reason and the cure for it is in the Lord. May God bless you and keep you, is our prayer. I'd like to take this opportunity to publish the door open for the reception of members. We have one or more here like a home of this church. You can let your desires be known while we stand and extend a right hand of fellowship. I want to thank you for your good, kind attention. I hope that, like I said, if anything was said to stimulate and to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, and you thank God. And if it wasn't, then you thank me. I don't mind. That's part of the responsibility. It goes to filling my pulpit. Never give God my share. I will give him all the praise of anything that might have been proper to you. We're going to stand and sing a song. Let's see here. How about one of my favorites? There is a fountain filled with blood.
37.
37.
Page
37. Page 37. That's right. We'll stand and sing.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge in ye that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoice to see
till I die, and
Show up on Sunday and nobody be here. And so obviously we do miss you and we thank you for your presence. And before I get it, I know this is bar has gotten on to me. I've got a stain all the way down this tie that I didn't recognize her this morning. I told her when I came in, she's kind of getting on to me. She said, well, didn't you see that? And I said, well, if I saw that, I would have worn it. But I call it controlled criticism. I figured if I wear a tie with something down on it, if you got something to criticize, you'll do that instead of the preaching. But anyway, I want you to know I hope we say this and mean it from everything within us. We certainly love each other, love each other. And remember to pray for those who cannot be here. And remember for those who we may not be aware of, but yet God knows. So all minds and hearts are these, and we'll look to the Lord and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning again for the blessings of life. We thank you, Lord, for this meeting we've had today. We ask, dear Lord, that thou will continue to bless each head bowed and all that are near and dear unto us. And Father, we ask thee that thou would hear our cries, even whenever we cannot put them into words that you would love to say. We ask that thou would intercede on our behalf, and thank thee that we do have an intercessor for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. Go with us now, keep us and guide us until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.